premiere night here for Attack of the Clones, but outside the Ziegfeld Theater is the real show, Return of the Dorks. Thousands of 35-year-old men waiting days, even months, for just a taste of George Lucas's table scraps.
TheForce.net and RebelScum.com present The Forcecast. And now your hosts, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Hello and welcome to The Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Happy to be back with you this week. This show for October 27th, 2006 is brought to you by Official Picks. When buying Star Wars autographs and photos, you don't have to worry about the authenticity with Official Picks. Check them out at OfficialPicks.com. And now, for the very first time, get your fully licensed, personalized, signed Star Wars Mace Windu photo from none other than, of course, Samuel L. Jackson. Mr. Jackson will be signing the photos to the name that you provide. The orders will be taken only for a couple more days. The ordering for that is going to be over on October 29th. So as you listen to this show, if you're listening to it as it goes live, today is Friday the 27th, so you only got a couple more days. And he's not going to write anything other than just to so-and-so from Samuel L. Jackson. And these are all expected to ship in early December. Each come, of course, with a certificate of authenticity, signed by Official Picks and Lucasfilm. I am Jason. With me always is Pete.
Howdy, everybody.
Well, we've got some different things to kind of go over at the beginning of this week's show. But nonetheless, we're going to just chill out and enjoy talking Star Wars. So, Pete, unfortunately, we do have a little bit of bad news.
Yeah, we'd like to pass along our condolences to the family of forum member Dean Peterson. Dean passed away this last week and was a forum member under the name of VDubbin2001. He will certainly be missed as a forum member, collector, and as part of his family, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Coming back on some happier news, we'd also like to pass along some birthday wishes to a couple of the lovely ladies of Star Wars.
Oh, yes.
Many happy returns to Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, who turned 50 this week, and Ayla Secura, the vivacious Amy Allen.
How long did you wait in line to see Amy Allen at Celebration 3?
Oh, it was well worth it. And, of course, I believe she stopped having birthdays at 22, so...
Oh, is that what...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, it's very ungentlemanlike of me to even ask how old she is, so... All right, well, happy birthday to Carrie Fisher and Amy Allen. Now, we wanted to remind you, once again, we are awfully close to the end of this promotion. You know, our Top 10 by Halloween contest that we are... we're trying to get into the Top 10 over at Podcast Alley by the end of this month, October 31st, and I believe we're still there.
We are holding steady at 9.
All right. So, hey, all we wanted was to be in the top 10. So, if you haven't voted yet, please check out the links on our show notes or go over to Podcast Alley and do a search for The Forcecast. It couldn't be easier to vote. You just give them an email address and then click the link once the email comes back to you saying, are you really sure you want to vote for The Forcecast? Confirm your vote, and bang, we hopefully will remain in the top 10. What's in it for you? Well, if we are in the top 10, as promised, we will bring you 10 straight days of giveaways with prizes donated by the wonderful folks at Official Picks. So, we're not exactly sure how we're going to do this. We're going to do 10 straight days. It's going to be a combination of the podcast, the forums, the RebelScum.com site, the Force.net site. So you're going to really have to check all of these things to play this game. So we're excited about it, and hopefully we'll get to unveil it if we are in the top 10. Also, speaking of contests, the Rebel Scum 2006 Halloween Costume Contest, the 8th year, showcasing the most creative, outrageous, and just plain cool Star Wars Halloween costumes, is underway. So just like last year, we're going to post up a gallery of your Halloween costume creations for all to view and give away some great prizes. Now, there is a link over at rebelscum.com to the previous year's costume contest pages, so you can check out and get an idea of what they're looking for. We're holding off on announcing what prizes are going to be given out just a little while longer, but there will be prizes for first, second, and third place for adults and children this year. And then there are a couple of super secret bonus categories that will be announced on November 3rd, so make sure you're checking all the details and the rules over at rebelscum.com. They will be accepting submissions from now, as you're hearing this, up through November 1st. So with the winners being announced November 3rd. So if you're dressing up as a Star Wars character this year, make sure you snap some photos, follow the rules over at Rebel Scum, and you just might be a winner. Speaking of winners...
Yes. Congratulations to the winners of our George and Me DVD trivia contest. The first person to email us with the answer to my question, which was, what is the name of the character parodied George Lucas on The Simpsons? That being Randall Curtis, the lovable Randall Curtis. This is awesome. The winner was Josh Shermer of Brainerd, Minnesota. And the first voicemail that we received with the answer to Jason's question, name the day, month, and year of George Lucas's near-fatal car crash that changed his life. June 12th, 1962 is the answer to that question, and James Lovely of Michigan sent that in. Each of them will receive a copy of the DVD courtesy of The Force Cast and TheForce.net.
Excellent. Congratulations to you guys. We had a lot of entries for these, both of them. The Skype voicemail was full. And my gosh, I mean, it wasn't but, what, an hour, 2 hours after the podcast went live last Friday morning, that we just got inundated with these emails. So we know you're out there listening, and we couldn't appreciate it more.
And this is the first of many to come, we hope. So
absolutely.
Keep tuning in for more contests and prizes and all sorts of goodies.
One little other thing we want to add before we get into headlines this week. This story is not going away, and if I have anything to say about it, it's not going to go away. You know that Cinemax is unveiling the Star Wars saga in high definition in November. And there's a little bit of controversy. I think you and I kind of, I stirred up a little bit of a hornet's nest because we've been getting a number of emails about this. People are upset that all indicators at this point are that you have to be a Comcast subscriber in order to actually get the saga in HD. Even if you're, you know, even if you get Time Warner or your, you know, Dish Network or whatever, and you get Cinemax, apparently it still doesn't matter. You actually have to be a Comcast subscriber. We are furiously trying to confirm this. Either get someone from Lucasfilm to give us a straight up answer about this. I've got calls into my local cable provider just to see what the deal is, because it just seems so strange, don't you think?
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me. That's the thing. Is it strange? Yes. Is it surprising? Not really.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Cinemax, our good friend and reader, Matarazzo, sorry if I butchered your name there, Matarazzo, is letting us know that the Cinemax website has been updated again with what they're claiming to be 5 new teaser videos for this event of the saga being in HD, of course, just for some of us. And it looks like there's some labels on these links on the site that are incorrect. But nonetheless, there's 5 trailers up now. 4 out of the 5 are actually new, including one that I thought was really, really cool. And, Pete, I showed this to you yesterday. The Coldplay video. I don't know the name of the song. I'm not a big Coldplay fan. Do you know the name of the song?
I do not. I didn't recognize the song when you played it.
But it's a trailer for, they say it's for the original trilogy, but it's actually, it has clips from the entire saga. And I thought it was a really, really cool video. It was very neat to see these iconic images that we've grown up with put together in the context of a really emotional, modern song. And it gave me chills and kind of put a little lump in my throat at different places. I thought it was really cool.
It's amazing how they tied the song into the images so cleanly.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't a Dark Side of the Moon
Wizard of Oz,
Wizard of Oz thing. I mean, this was very purposeful.
So yeah, right.
It was very cool.
Yeah, and so check that out. Go over to Cinemax.com. Send them an email. You know, what can you lose? Send them an email and say, what gives? I'm a Dish Network subscriber. Or I'm a Time Warner subscriber. Am I going to get these films in HD or standard definition? What's the deal? So, I mean, the more requests that they get, more questions they get, hopefully we'll get an answer. And we are working on that for you. Well, I think that's about all of the housekeeping we've got. We're going to run into our headlines now. We've got lots of news, so let's punch it.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Hasbro reports that third quarter profits were unexpectedly higher than they had assumed that they would be. Despite a decline in the sale of Star Wars products to the tune of $58 million, the company still posted earnings in a rise of 8.2%. So there's some quotes here. President CEO Alfred Verrecchia of Hasbro said that despite the decline in the sale of Star Wars items, that it still remains the number one action figure property in all of toys. Toy analyst Garrick Johnson said that Star Wars is the Energizer Bunny of the toy industry. It just keeps going and going. And it was also mentioned that in an effort to offset the expected decline in the sale of Star Wars-related merchandise in a non-movie year, and there was a number of stories posted online talking about this particular set of numbers that came out of Hasbro, and they kept saying, in a non-movie year, a non-movie year, a non-movie year. So what they did is apparently they released a new version of Monopoly, the board game, and, of course, their big five-year deal with Marvel to get, obviously, X-Men and Spider-Man and other action figure lines out on the market. I think this is good news because it doesn't sound like, Mr. Verrecchia or even this analyst, Mr. Johnson, are counting Star Wars out. I think the answer is obvious. It's a non-movie year, and you don't have the same buzz.
Well, and you don't have the same amount of product. I mean, if you go back to last year with the movie, you had the DVD trivia game, you had a new Monopoly game, you had, all sorts of other, the interactive toys and all the other stuff that they put out.
Right.
And, just the inundation with product. I mean, there were, 50 figures plus that came out on one day?
Yeah.
April 1st.
Right, exactly. And it was a huge push.
Or
it was
April 2nd, I can't
right.
remember.
Right.
Anyway, but, I mean, so there was a lot of product out there. More product means higher sales. I mean, that's 101.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, just imagine what the returns would have been in 05 without April Madness, as it was with this past film. I can't even imagine how much that they sold. I'd like to look those statistics up in just one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then contrast that with the release of original trilogy DVDs, and there were even some a lot of nice incentives with the different retailers, and it just didn't have that feeling of an event.
No, it was very underwhelming at most points. And was Walmart had the exclusive figures, but they were all repacks.
And there just didn't seem to be a whole lot of buzz
right
for it. I mean, obviously in the Star Wars fan community, we were excited about it. But, we weren't as excited about it as we would have been. I think there just was sort of, a slight bad taste in our mouths with the whole controversy about the version of the films that were inevitably put out. And so I guess it was kind of wasn't necessarily the best indicator of Star Wars fandom.
Just when you thought you knew everything there was to know about the most notorious and mysterious bounty hunter in the universe, StarWars.com has upped the ante. Even the most avid Fett fans may be surprised by some of the trivia revealed in their article, Proto Fett, which chronicles the conceptual origins of the enigmatic character. Some facts of note are the first public appearance is not the famed 1979 holiday special. It was actually on September 24th, 1978, in the San Anselmo County Fair Parade. He was marching there with Darth Vader, and it was captured in the local paper, which is the Independent Journal, and there are actually some photos on StarWars.com of Boba Fett marching in that parade. Article goes on to talk a little bit more about Fett's origin, as it actually came out of the cast-aside idea of Darth Vader being a bounty hunter. George Lucas wanted to go more with a Dark Knight as the Darth Vader character, as being the main villain, but he didn't want to totally discard this idea of having this intergalactic bounty hunter that is the, I guess, other evil presence in the universe.
And he didn't want him to steal Vader's thunder, right?
Well, of course they didn't. And so he went back and gave the idea to Joe Johnston and the legendary Ralph McQuarrie. And they put together the costume, started off with an all-white costume outfit, kind of looked like a super stormtrooper, and that's kind of what the rumor was that started about his origin was, oh, well, maybe this is a guy that came out of the stormtrooper ranks, and he's kind of an elite super stormtrooper.
Yeah.
You know, and then everything, he went through many, 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 many changes before they settled on the final release version that made it to the stores and all that kind of stuff. And they also talk about the marketing machine that they used to kind of promote Empire, which was interesting because he was going around, Boba Fett, that being, was going around and doing public appearances, signing photos with just Boba. And he actually was posting wanted posters in different malls and stuff around the area.
That's cool.
At the end of the 70s, you know. So one with Greedo was the one that they showed a poster of. So, you know, it was very cool just to see, because, again, this is one of those characters that is surprising in all the momentum. And they talked about this in the article, too, is that after all this hype, he didn't have very much screen time in Empire.
Right. That's true.
So people were going, well, what's the deal here? You know, what's the bigger story behind this? So that even added to the mystery of the character even more. Very cool article. Make sure you check it out if you've got a chance, because there are some really good photos or maybe some really bad photos.
Our good buddy Dustin posted on Rebel Scum and TheForce.net a glowing review of a new fan film, mockumentary. It takes a very tongue-in-cheek approach to following five individual Star Wars fans as they tackle Celebration 3, each in their own way. Dustin said that, quote, "I've got to say this is by far one of the most entertaining pieces of film I've seen come out of the convention, held close to 2 years ago. It's available right now online for only $10 plus shipping and handling, and I highly recommend it to any and all Star Wars fans." So what this is, I guess, kind of like in the vein of a Spinal Tap or Best in Show, or, you know, any of these Christopher Guest films where they take a particular event and they create a little fake documentary around it. And in this case, it's Episode 3. Reading from their press release, "The cast is a group of lifelong friends who have shared several interests since the original trilogy several years ago. Two such influences include filmmaking and a common love of Star Wars. Utilizing these interests as well as incorporating a heavy influence from shows like The Office and Curb Your Enthusiasm, this group of friends decided to produce their own mockumentary about the different facets of Star Wars fans." So if you're a fan of fan films and fake documentaries, which I am, I love all the, like, Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman and Spinal Tap, of course, you might want to check this one out. Of course, there's a link to the official site and all that good stuff on our show notes. There's no trailer for this, so I was a little disappointed. You can kind of get a feel for the movie from the screen caps and, of course, Dustin's glowing review.
It was interesting to read up on some of the characters, what each one represents in the film. And I think if you get this film and you watch it, everybody knows that guy. One of these characters is represented somewhere in your life. So get it, because it'll be worth a good laugh. Casino Royale director Martin Campbell told Yahoo UK that Ewan McGregor was initially offered the Bond role, but declined, making Daniel Craig the choice. Campbell hinted that McGregor either got another job offer or just didn't want the role. Ewan himself said the role would have been fun, but was too long of a commitment. Well, I think we're going to have to start cutting him off from iconic roles. You know, I mean, at least, you know, he's not being greedy and saying, well, I'm going to be Obi-Wan, then I'm going to be Bond.
Right.
Eventually, we'd be reading about him as young Indiana Jones and old Harry Potter, and it'd be all over for us.
Well, what makes this ironic is that wasn't Ewan the guy that wanted no part of the machine, the Hollywood machine? He wanted no part of these ultra-commercial films. He was the underground guy. He was in Train Spotting. And I remember, you know, and he kind of, particularly during the first two prequels, you would read these quotes from him that was like, why are you even doing this movie? You've got nothing positive to say. I think it has a lot to do with his age at the time. I really do. I mean, I don't mean to patronize him, because the interviews that I've seen, he seems like a really good guy, really down to earth. But I think he kind of grew up there and realized, you know, being in these big movies isn't half bad.
No, and I don't blame him for not wanting to make another big time commitment like Star Wars was for him. And I think that probably turned him off to it a little bit. I don't think you'll see him doing a lot of things where he has to be continually revisiting the role, because I think he likes to do different things. He likes to do the theater. I know he's been in a lot of different productions over in Europe and those types of things. So I'm pretty sure he wants to make sure he keeps his options open. But
right. I mean, we certainly wouldn't want to have missed The Island. A new book has finally seen its cover art revealed, The Making of Star Wars, the Definitive Story Behind the Original Film by J.W. Rinzler, finally showed up on Amazon.com with some cover art. Now, this book is going to be released in April of 2007. You can pre-order it now in its paperback or hardback version. There aren't a whole lot of details, but now J.W. Rinzler was the author of The Making of Star Wars Episode 3 book, and which is great. I loved all three of those books. I've got them. Fantastic photos, fantastic documentation of the making of these movies. So to see this guy bring that kind of journalistic eye to, rewind back to 1976 for the making of the original Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, is something I'm looking forward to. You can check out the photo at Amazon.com, or take a look at the link provided in our show notes. It's a nice picture of very young George Lucas and young Mark Hamill, of course, in Tunisia, obviously shooting one of the homestead scenes. Luke's got his little poncho on, reminiscent of Liam Neeson's in Episode 1. You have anything to say about this?
No.
And Tracy points out a funny series of images over at Worth1000.com that our listeners might enjoy. They had a recent contest where what they wanted to do is kind of test your Photoshop skills and take iconic Star Wars characters and recast them with different actors and different personalities. And it's actually very, very funny. Some of them they've got, of course, you know, when I say this, if you haven't really seen one of these contests online before, you think that it's just someone's head spliced on, you know, Yoda's body or whatnot. It's not like that at all. I mean, they've gone way, way, way out on these. And, like, Mr. T as Yoda, and, I mean, it looks like Mr. T as Yoda, the way they've morphed these. There's a couple of Mr. Bean, you know, as Obi-Wan, and as other characters. Pete, what were some of your favorites?
There were some pretty sexy ones that I thought were pretty good, too.
Of course.
You know, there are some good ones of, Scarlett Johansson, and
Scarlett Johansson as Aayla Secura.
As Aayla Secura, and there was a couple of different females. There was a couple different actresses that they chose of Darth Maul, kind of with the tattoos and the black. It was alluringly sexy and a little bit nerve wracking that I was kind of looking at that, going, "No, that's hot."
And for you European fans, the One Man Star Wars trilogy is going to be returning to the UK to make its West End debut at London's Garrick Theatre from Monday, November 6th, to Saturday, November 11th, as part of the Intelligent Finance Comedy Awards season. And then it'll be traveling to Ireland to perform at Dublin's Spirit from November 13th to November 25th. So whether you're a committed Star Wars fan or simply just want to enjoy a fast-paced, side-splitting evening that is out of this world, this is a show that should definitely not be missed. So there you go, another Star Wars fan event for our good friends across the pond. So make sure you check out all the details at rebelscum.com and theforce.net.
We're back in the cantina for part 3 of our interview with Fanboys director Kyle Newman.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
How do you feel about Lucasfilm, and specifically here, but their embrace of the fan community, and they're willing to let you know, amateur filmmakers, in a sense, kind of run amok and get their films on the internet, and not only do that, but reward them at shows like Comic-Con and give them a little award ceremony and that sort of thing. How do you feel about that?
I think it's phenomenal. I mean, I've been watching fan films for years, you know, and in a sense, which was really cool. I mean, Fanboys ultimately for me is I got to make a fan film. So I got to use all their stuff and they let me do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool what they do. I think it's, I mean, the community's grown so big that unless they are accepting of that, mm-hmm. I mean, they almost can't even, they probably couldn't even stop it. It's like a snowball.
Right.
You know, I mean, they could try, but I think they realize that that's the longevity of Star Wars, is in how the fans and people keep it alive.
Yep.
Because they're not going to keep making new films, and you can only re-release things in so many different ways. I know they talk about 3D, and they're going to do things to keep it alive,
mm-hmm.
and to keep it relevant,
right.
and with the television shows. But for it to survive, you need it to kind of be channeled through the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, what I think, you know, it's not just about the films. It's gotten so big that there's like fan fiction, and there's role-playing games, and there's video games, which are doing phenomenally well for them. People love it. So there's all aspects to it, and I think, you know, them being open to the fan film thing is very smart, and it's also very good, because they're encouraging filmmakers to kind of operate in or areas they're comfortable with.
And this is a perfect time to ask. This is what everybody wants to know. We've been following the development of this film online for, like you said, you were even following the development of this film online.
Yeah, I know.
When are we going to see it, Fanboys? When are we going to see it?
It's early next year. We've
okay.
actually got one weekend of some pickup shots to open up the film, to do some driving, to add some of that, the road trip elements to the film. We didn't have a lot of money to make it,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of days to shoot it in. And, you know, I got all the performance stuff with the actors, but there's little moments where you want to open the movie up and show the transition across the country, because it's a road trip film,
right?
To sell the journey. So, you know, they've been happy with what they've seen with the film so far, and they're giving me a little extra money to do effects and to do, you know, grab some of the shots I'm missing, and to get the music that I want. It's really, mm-hmm. it's a pop culture film, and it's, as much as it is Star Wars in every scene, it's like, it's got elements of things that you grew up with, you know.
Sure.
The Goonies and Transformers and Tron, and it touches on everything in a very fun, but not in your face way, and you just feel like you're part of, like these guys are your friends.
Right.
How I want it. You know,
yeah.
Music and all those things that tie it to an era or tie it to an experience are really important, and they understood that too, and they're kind of letting me go get all the songs I want and things like that.
Right. Well, give us an idea. I know
early next year, probably
okay.
I think right now it's February, and I think you're going to maybe see a trailer, not the theatrical trailer, but a trailer for it.
All right.
On the Clerks 2 DVD and on the Pulse DVD, and probably on some other Weinstein Company or Dimension releases. Probably starting around December, and then early next year. I know the latest would be in the spring. So
great.
Of course, a lot of our fans already have an idea of what the film is about, but kind of give us an overview of what the journey is all about, what it's going to pertain to, and some great moments that are going to be, that we can look forward to.
Wow, this movie is dense. There's a lot going on. There's it's really about four best friends, and, you know, the main character's kind of grown apart from his buddies, and he feels like he's made a choice to move all of his life and get away from all those things that they bonded over. You know, he needed to grow up and to take on family responsibility. And it's about these getting back together with them to do something for a dying friend that reawakens them to the fact that there's more to life. You know, you don't have to turn things off to grow up. You can, like, keep the things that made you who you are a part of you. You know, you should never run from them or hide from them. And him kind of reacquainting himself with the fan in him. But really, never in an on-the-nose way. It's really about the friendship. I mean, when I got involved with her, I wanted the movie to be about the friends. It's not so much about... It's about Star Wars, and it'll be Star Wars in every scene.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't talk about Star Wars like that. It's
right.
It comes up, you feel it, in the way things are set up sometimes, or in the where they are in their journey and what they're going through. And sometimes it is over the top to talk about it. But I would liken it to Sideways. You know... It's purely in the way Sideways they talk about wine incessantly.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know wine, because I don't drink, I don't know Merlot or Pinot. Or all I know is, like, when Miles in that movie gets really passionate about wine, and he's like, you know, starts cursing about Merlot, you get it, because
right.
That's how he feels. So even if you don't know Star Wars, people will respond to this movie because the characters have so much passion for a topic. I mean, they could literally be going, we want to go on this trip, we're GoBot fans, and that you're going to the GoBot factory. I mean,
right.
it should in the formula, it should work where it's about anybody that has a deep passion for anything. That, which everyone does. Even if you're not following it, or even if you're not, like, it's a hobby, but you're not actively pursuing it, there's something that you want to do, there's something that you love that you're not doing. And these guys, you know, have the passion to go out and do something about it. And I think even if you're a sports fan, you get it, you know, when you're, like, crazed on, like, on a weekend for the games, it's, like, it's such a huge part of your life, and that's what you talk about, and that's what you bond with your male friends about. And,
that's so
and,
cool,
you know,
because...
As a female fan, and it's like she's kind of forcing her way into it. Like, why can't I be the same as you guys just because I'm a girl?
Right.
So it kind of explores that a little bit too.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, my three of my favorite films from my childhood are obviously the Star Wars movies. I consider them all the same movie in a sense. One movie, Stand By Me. Yeah. And the Goonies. And I think what I've loved about these movies is this: the story about the friendships. I know growing up, you know, that the friends that I held dear to, you know, to myself in elementary school and junior high and high school, they were some of the best friendships that I ever had. And I don't think I'll ever have experienced friendships like that. So I'm really excited about this movie that it... Star Wars is the backdrop, but it's really about the relationships, and it takes the subject matter so seriously.
I think that's you encapsulated kind of what we're really going after, and especially when you reference Goonies and Stand By Me, those were probably the two biggest things that I wanted. You know, I kept watching over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily exactly like them, but it's just like
sure
kind of the way things felt in those movies. And I think Goonies, these guys feel like it's a coming of age story, but they're in their 20s. I think the 20s
right.
is like the new like 14.
Right.
You can be immature longer.
That's what my wife tells me.
These guys are going through that. You know, they're growing up for the really a lot of them for the first time. And you know, Goonies is like it's this great coming of age story. And albeit they're younger, I wanted that vibe. You know, like it's got kind of that madcap energy to it. You know, and it's got that adventure feel. And there's a journey to it. And Stand By Me, because you know the center of that movie is. It's death, you know, and that's mm-hmm. kind of the center of this movie. The catalyst is that someone's going to die.
Right.
And it's not heavy or emotional or heavy. It's not, it's just the good thing about it where we got the script was it was not never over your head or in your face, you know, when they'll talk about the forms of what kind of cancer he has and stuff like that. It's more about how you feel that he's dealing with it and
right.
you feel how they're looking at him as opposed to getting into all the specifics of it. You know, I didn't want to have scenes about that. It's about...
Yeah.
the emotion of it, and that being the catalyst to do something that needs to be done for this friend is not going to get to see episode one.
Continue. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, tell us about the cast of this movie. Who's bringing these characters to life for us?
The cast, I mean, I kind of struck gold with it. I mean, I just found these great guys. Sam Huntington's the lead, and you might have seen him in Superman, and he's been around for a while. But Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, that little movie over the summer, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you probably saw him in that. He's great. He's you know, the character going through questioning, you know, his future.
Mm-hmm.
And his best friend is being played by Chris Marquette. And Chris, you know, then Girl Next Door and Just Friends. And he's actually going to be the lead in my next movie, which is Revenge of the Nerds. And Chris is playing, you know, Linus. And... He's the one going, you know, he's got to face death. He's the emotional core of the group. And then there's Dan Fogler, who's a kind of loud, wild, and crazy friend who's not afraid to say anything that comes to mind. And he's like this diehard Rush fan. And they take his man. He's kind of like...
I think we all went to school with that diehard Rush fan.
Dan was really excited about it because he's like, you know, he's like, in this movie, I get to play Han Solo and Chewbacca. He was, you know, he brings like a little bit of that swagger and energy to it. And Jay Baruchel is kind of like, you know, the classic uber nerd. He owns a comic book store now, but he doesn't really have aspirations for it to be bigger than just being a place for him to go and check live with chicks in Star Wars chat rooms. You know, and then Kristen Bell, who's like got this, you know, dynamo personality and tons of energy, and she's. She's just as big of a fan as these guys, but she can turn it off. You know, she's
right.
separate. Like, whoa, where are we going? What are you talking about? And that's kind of like the core of it. You know, we've got some phenomenal cameos. And
I hear about those.
Part of it. And So there's good surprises there, and there's a lot of like great up and coming.
Were there any real hurdles in, you know, making this about Star Wars? I mean, how much participation did you need from Lucasfilm, and how much did they give you, and more than you needed, more than you thought?
We need a lot, and they gave me more than I would have expected. You know, not that, you know, I expected them not to, but just, you know, it's a big, they're a big corporation now, and we're kind of pushing the boundaries with what you'd see, you know, people in Stormtrooper outfits doing, or, you know, what we're allowed to do with lightsabers and things like that. I mean, they're very cool about it, and knowing that this wasn't just a fan film, it's a film made by fans, but it's a movie that someone else is making money off of, and, you know, I think we conveyed to them how important it was, and they saw that the story was ultimately a love letter to George Lucas and everything he's done, and
very well put.
You know, there's nothing really disparaging in the movie towards obviously not towards Star Wars, and we're not making comments about them being nerds or whatever. I these guys are just regular guys, and once the movie gets rolling, they're like your friends. Everybody knows who these people are, and they're not like over the top or ridiculous in that kind of way. We're not like stereotyping or
right.
Just they are who they are. And I think they saw that. That was just, there's something kind of real about it, and probably, you know, it wasn't offensive, and it just had fun with, you know, the world that he established. But they were phenomenal. I was to be part of the San Diego Comic-Con fan films presentation, and there was maybe like 4,000 fans there, and they let us show like a 5-minute kind of teaser for the movie.
Well, our good buddy
and
Dustin
Ross is just overwhelming, yeah.
Our good buddy Dustin Roberts was in attendance, and boy, he just went on about that 4 minutes of film that was shown there. He was really excited by it. So,
yeah, I met Dustin down there, and it was really cool to meet him. It's really cool to watch different fans and the way they responded to it. And because I was kind of nervous. I mean, I wasn't up until like 20 minutes before I was showing it. I'm like, wait a second, I'm going to be showing diehard Star Wars fans. Suppose they don't. I never thought of this for a second. I was like, suppose they don't like it. But then, you know, I was like, wait a second, no. It's like, if I did what it's my best ability, and me being such like a diehard fan, then there's something in it for everybody, and especially if you're a Star Wars fan. Even if you're not, I think you're going to have fun with the movie, and if you are, I mean, I hope people slide in the shelf like next to like the, you know, the sixth film. Maybe even replace the holiday special somewhere on the shelf.
Can I put it right between the two Ewok movies?
Right in between.
Well, getting back to, you know, the fan reaction and that sort of thing, you are a fan. I mean, that's what is so cool about this movie is that it's being made by somebody who really is going to treat the material with the TLC and the respect that it deserves. But you're also a filmmaker. You're also in the industry. So I'm wondering, were there any moments, either on set or leading up to this, or where you went, oh my God, I can't believe I'm standing here talking to so-and-so, or I can't believe that, you know, I'm actually holding this, or what are some of those moments for you? Fanboy moments, let's call them.
We created, like, this one classic set from A New Hope, which I won't really specify what it is, and standing in that, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, I want the Death Star. It was really cool. And, you know, we got to actually film on the ranch, which
really
was unbelievable.
Wow.
And I think, you know, they told us we were the first people, like, non-documentary to be allowed to shoot there, other than, like, pick up stuff for Star Wars, or they were doing green screen and things like that.
Right.
At least that's what I heard. I mean, so that was, like, to me, it was, like, a pretty huge achievement to be, like, standing on, like, the front lawn of Skywalker, you know, in front of the main house there. Like, Rick McCollum pulled up there, you know, while we were shooting. He was just hanging out.
No kidding.
Like, yeah. You know, and I even slid him in the movie as, like, a little cameo. And he, you know, he was like, man, this is great. He read the script and he liked it. And so they really let us into their world. And
that's awesome.
You know, they've been pretty cool and making us feel like, you know, somewhere a little bit distant, we're part of, like, you know, the Star Wars family.
Yeah, the extended family, absolutely.
That's what I feel like is important about these type of films and fan films. It's like they do welcome people into their world because it's affected so many people.
And tune in next week as we wrap up our chat with part four of our talk with Kyle Newman.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
A fine addition to my collection.
It's worth a lot to me.
And in collecting news, we'll start off with Hasbro. People wondering if large corporations have any patience need not look any further than Target to get the answer. Just using them as an example, the answer would have to be no, because just after a month on the shelves, the Unleashed General Grievous and Titanium Lava Vader are already marked down 50% and 30% respectively. So a big thank you to our reader for sending in notice of that. Well, get them while they're
not hot.
We kind of saw this one coming. We talked about this with the Unleashed particularly.
Somewhere in the distance, I actually believe I hear taps playing for the Unleashed line as it may finally get its final resting spot.
Yeah, I'm afraid that it's it looks grim for the Unleashed figures. And as far as that Vader, the titanium lava Vader, I think that they were kind of fooled by how, not to be cliche, but how hot, you know, the original lava Vader figure was. They probably should have learned from the Obi-Wan and Anakin lava figures that, you know, it's not necessarily the best gimmick in the world for an action figure. I mean, the first one obviously had the buzz for being available on release day, April 2nd. This one was just, it just didn't do anything. I mean, the titanium figures in general don't really do anything for me, and this one in particular did nothing. So I'm not really surprised or disappointed, but with the Unleashed, I think it probably is just another nail in the coffin of many nails in the coffin of this line.
It has to just either die or come back. It's got this, the staggering out of it is just going to kill me.
And speaking of Target, Mike sends word that Target.com has posted pictures and info about, finally, the Imperial Shuttle exclusive, set to be available for $59.99 at brick-and-mortar stores only, not available online. So this is interesting. The price point I find a little interesting on this, $59.99, you know, compare that to the AT-AT price point. And I would say that they're comparable in terms of size and scale. These two vehicles, what was the AT-AT at Toys R Us? $89, I think. Yeah. $89.99.
I think $59.99 is actually cheaper than the original shuttle that was released.
Back
in 1986.
No, actually, it's certainly cheaper than the FAO Schwartz exclusive.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So if this turns out to be true, now we do have a DPCI code for those of you who like to torture Target employees all over with this, and we'll give it to you here at 087-06-04. 83. Once again, that's the DPCI code for the Imperial Shuttle exclusive available at Target. No date here, so this could probably show up just about any time. And we have new photos of some packaged items from Hasbro. New packaging items appeared over at 4inches.de and also appeared on Euroscum, the European sister site to RebelScum. New photos, including the packaging images of the Republic Commando Delta Squad box set and the Combat Engineer Clone Trooper. So for all of you Trooper fans out there, check it out. Take a look at it. There they are. It's really happening. Carded and boxed images. You know, we've said this before. I don't really get the whole Trooper thing.
Well, this is more of an EU thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The Republic Commandos, they're not just troopers. These are the dudes when it comes to being a trooper. So I think that's a little more special than just getting the Felucia trooper or some of the other things. Although you and I disagree. I like getting the different troopers, and you're kind of over it.
Well, I think for me it's just that it doesn't register to me. It's kind of like you know how some guys are really into cars, and they could tell you the difference between all the different cars going on. They could say, "Oh, that's a Ford, that's a whatever." It just doesn't hit me. I mean, I could sit and read, and I have. I've truly tried to educate myself on the different troopers, and the different colors, and the different helmets, and the, you know, all that, and it just doesn't sink in. I just don't have the aptitude for it, I guess. Well, the second set of commemorative tins from the Anniversary Collection have shown up at Toys R Us stores everywhere for $29.99. Combined, these sets include six exclusive figures. The tins that are pictured at rebelscum.com, were found in New Jersey by Rebel Scum reader Dave Z. So we've got really two waves of tins here. We've got the prequel trilogy tins and the original trilogy tins. Both have now shown up in stores. You've actually seen some of them, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw the original trilogy, A New Hope tin set.
With the Leia in the what is it, the Sand Trooper?
Yes. Picked it up, saw the price, put it back down.
I don't know. None of these figures in these sets have really grabbed me. Now, the prequel sets, on the other hand, do. I mean, the two Evolutions Anakins that are in there, because I didn't pick that set up when it was initially available for Episode 3, that one's kind of calling my name, so I'll probably pick up that one. These other ones, I'm happy with just admiring them from afar.
Watching them stroll by.
Although, maybe we'll get lucky and they'll turn up on clearance pretty soon. The Star Wars collectors community has been waiting for years for a book covering the vintage European toy lines, and a new book just released is filling that gap. Meccano to Trilogo, subtitled French to European Vintage Star Wars Action Figure Toys, is a full-color, 144-page, A4 format softcover book written by collector Stefan Faucourt. It covers each area of both Meccano and Trilogo lines and features the most extensive content ever published so far, with whole collections being presented, including information, photography, and an impressive set of printed materials. The book is in English, perfect for a worldwide audience who knows about Trilogos and has much interest in the foreign Kenner lines. I've not seen this book, but there's a great review over at rebelscum.com, and they kind of give you a chapter breakdown. Chapter 1 covers the Star Wars carded in box toys. For the first time, photographed is the entire sets of the 12-backs and the 20-backs. Vehicle variations are also present. Chapter 2 follows sort of a similar pattern with the Empire Strikes Back carded and boxed figures and boxed toys, as does Chapter 3 covering Return of the Jedi. Now, Chapter 4 covers the Trilogo carded and boxed toys. It's kind of it says it's a more technical part, which shows the whole Trilogo carded figures, including many cards and bubble variants, and an explanation how to spot rare variants and their origins. The famous Trilogo miscards are also reviewed in the book. In Chapters 5 and 6, there is a catalog section. Now, I thought this was really cool because I had enough sense when I was a little kid to save some of these. I have a couple. You know those little Kenner catalogs that used to come inserted with some of the toys?
Absolutely.
Apparently, there is a really extensive archive of those in this book, which I'm really excited to read this book now. Of course, it's not without its controversy. Apparently, there's an individual that is claiming to be part of mintinbox.net that is giving away illegal links to download the book. So somehow this person got a hold of a digital copy and is, well, distributing this, the link, and encouraging people to download the book for free. I mean, they're claiming that it's just portions of the book, but still, I mean, the author wanted all of our listeners to know that this is a copyright violation. He has not approved this, so if you see this anywhere, I guess the person's name is Free Willy.
And more appropriate.
Yeah, right. So if you do see a link floating around for a free download of this book, try to resist and order it properly and give Stefan a little compensation for the work, because if it's as great as this review is claiming, it must have been just an incredible amount of work. I mean, I know what our own Dan Curto goes through archiving and photographing the modern line for Rebel Scum. So this must have been just an amazing and unbelievably difficult project. So please turn them in. If you see somebody passing this link around, let them know that this isn't cool to do. Speaking of Dan Curto and rebelscum.com, the 2007 Greatest Hits Showdown is well underway. Round one is already in the can, and we're now down to the top 64. And there's some interesting showdowns there. So now we're starting the bracket-style tournament. And as someone who's not really a big basketball fan, I guess this is kind of an homage to the way they do For me, this is an homage to WrestleMania 4 when they were trying to crown the new heavyweight champion. Okay, I remember the bracket system. So, Pete, I know you've been following this. What are some of the contests you've been watching?
Well, you know, there are not very many close contests that are left out there. Most of the contests have kind of taken on that blowout feel, as there are very few that are under 60% going to one side or the other. I thought there were a couple upsets that kind of did surprise me, that some smaller figures, I guess is what you would put it, some Cinderella figures that are starting to make their way up the charts. I was very surprised, not very surprised, but I was a little bit surprised that Pot Snitkin is edging out the Evolution's Clone Trooper, and that R2-Q5 has taken on the 442nd Siege Battalion Commander, Clone Trooper, and Paploo, the lovable little Ewok, is stomping all over Holograph Darth Sidious. So most of these ones are a blowout so far, but there's still time to get your votes in, so if you haven't voted yet and you'd like to get in on the action, it's a lot of fun. It's very cool how it's set up, and we give Dan a lot of credit because I know he spent a lot of time doing this and has really pulled some things out here. So,
and here with an update on the status of the 2007 tournament is our own Dan Curto.
Well, we started off four figures that were voted from round one are now in the tournament, and they're all facing off against each other for this week. Next week, the winners of this week's poll will be narrowed down to 32 figures in 16 different matches. And the week after that, we'll be down to eight different matches, then four, then two, then ultimately one. And we're going to continue each series, I guess, each round for an entire week. And the reason that this was changed is because Hasbro wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to participate, not just Rebel Scum readers, but everybody, which is great because, you know, the more people that participate, of course, the more the fans really have a say in what's coming out. And also gave StarWars.com time to do their little promotion. That's funny because the tournament bracket that I created for our poll, I showed it to the guys at Hasbro, and they loved it. They showed it to the guys at Lucasfilm. They loved it. And said, hey, this is a great idea. Let's put this on our site so that we can really get all the fans out there who buy the toys to have an opportunity to let their voices be heard. And that's really what this whole thing is about. I think StarWars.com said it best. This is really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Hasbro's never really done this before where you get to pick the line. They've done it with the fans' choice figures. But we're picking up to eight figures to come out.
So if there's something that you missed and it's in the bracket, go and vote for it. Looks like some people are voting more than once, maybe voting more than 100,000 times.
I was very surprised to see that the vote numbers for the Sand Trooper versus Battle Droids came in at 397,475 votes. Something tells me there might be something up there.
Well, in finally wrapping up Hasbro this week, there were a couple of questions that were posed in the 15th Q&A at rebelscum.com that I thought were fairly interesting. One question was, with all of the success of the LEGO video game, what are the odds of having a Star Wars action figure video game? And I think that's kind of a cool idea, actually, particularly if you did, you know, the original trilogy stories with vintage figures, and then the prequel ones, obviously, with the modern line. I just think that would be a really cool idea. And I think Hasbro's response was interesting. Interesting idea.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around it right now. It's not coming into play.
It would probably come off like Toy Fair's Twisted Mego Theater,
right,
or something like that.
I keep seeing one of those bad stop-motion videos that I tried to make when I was a little kid. It's like, oh, this is awesome.
And another question was taking Hasbro to task on the 3 3/4 scale lightsabers that come with the figures, saying, you know, they're actually white hot in the center, and they glow out from that with the appropriate color. And they would like to see a little more realistic lightsaber. And Hasbro didn't shoot it down at all. They said that's something that they would definitely look at.
I think they could probably pull it off. You kind of inject a little white core down the middle of it. It might make a heck of a lot of difference.
It might, but every time I think of when they start talking about a realistic lightsaber, I just think of those two guys that blew themselves up trying to make one for real. And rumors were abound this week after Mini Toy Fair was held in New York City. Master Replicas was there. They were the only big Star Wars merchandiser that was there, but they had a lot of very interesting things that are coming out this week, or rumored to be coming out in the next year or so. Shot glasses featuring R2-D2, Boba Fett, Vader, and Yoda. Vader talking bottle opener, lightsaber, and corkscrew.
I like that stuff. I like the bar accessories.
Yes.
Because, you know, every Star Wars geek collector has those dreams of his Star Wars room or his Star Wars basement. You know, one of these days, I'm going to finish that basement. It's going to be all Star Wars. And I have a bar in my basement, a bar area, and I think that'd be, what a perfect, my wife is going to be thrilled that I've got something for that space down here.
Your very own cantina, if you will.
Right.
Also coming out of there, obviously they're big on the sabers. There's a Ki-Adi Mundi that's on the way, a Mara Jade, as well as a collector edition Biker Scout pistol.
The Mara Jade I found exceptionally interesting. They are really, if Master Replicas is doing a saber hilt for Mara Jade, then they are really canonizing this thing. So, you know, heads up, all the comic illustrators and artists, this is probably set in stone. As her saber.
No variations anymore on that one. On the FX side of the lightsabers, they're doing a... Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
A Yoda. I know everybody's wanted
one. Finally, a lightsaber size.
One that you can use.
Yeah.
They're also going to do an episode 4 Vader, 2 new Lukes, and an Obi-Wan. And get this, a make-your-own lightsaber. FX lightsaber. Not sure what the details are on that quite yet, and again, these are just rumors, but that could be something very cool and something that I know collectors will go hog wild over. So
yeah, it's probably going to be very similar to the Hasbro version, where you get multiple components to build your own custom hilt, and I wonder if you'll be able to order your own color blade that you want.
I'm thinking that this might be something where they actually have parts on a website. And you put it together, and you know.
Good call.
And
that's
they
probably
put it together
what it is,
at the
yeah.
factory.
It'd probably be a little pricey to have.
Yeah, to send all.
Right.
You can get all six of the light blades. So, right. And kind of rounding things out, they're going to do a studio scale X-wing and TIE fighter, and a Chewbacca bowcaster. So, if you're a fan of the Master Replica stuff, make sure that you keep your eyes peeled, because I'm sure a lot will be very popular items and. Things that not only can add to your own collection, but also to your costume collection as well. And staying along the lines with Master Replicas and Corgi, as we were told that it is Corgi this week, and we'll get to that later, but going back to our probe droid poll that we hit on last week, would you like to see Corgi do a die-cast line of vehicles? At this point, it's not quite wrapped up yet, but it's leaning on 43% not interested, 31% yes, definitely interested, and 24% might be cool. So,
okay, so
right now we're kind of the majority is saying yeah it's something that might be cool. I might have to see it first.
Right.
But so that might be something that they could send along and say, hey, you might want to look into this. But it would probably have to take over for the Titanium Ultra series. And something tells me that if it's done by Corgi and Master Replicas, it's going to be a little pricey.
And the Hot Toys Chubbies have been revealed. I can't believe I just said that.
Things in Star Wars that sound dirty but aren't.
The first assortment of the Hot Toys Chubby Star Wars nesting dolls that we talked about last week have been revealed. Do we need a drum roll for this? I gotta say that as bizarre as these seem to be, there's a part of me that thinks... I know. There's a part of me that looks at them and go, huh, that's kind of cool. But what you have... I mean, they're just it's insane because they've got a very Asian anime style art, but with that Russian, you know, collapsible nesting doll gimmick that they have, and they've put some thought into this. I mean, They've got six revealed, and you can see the pictures at rebelscum.com. The first one is this, and we talked about it last week, is the Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker. So you have the large Darth Vader, the in-between size Anakin a la Episode 3, and then Episode 1, little Jake Lloyd Anakin Skywalker. You know, they got the, you know, the anime-style eyes and everything. And then there's an Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is my favorite. As you well know, I'm a big Obi-Wan fan. And you got the Padawan Obi-Wan from Episode 1, the slightly more polished Jedi Knight Obi-Wan from Episode 2, and then Jedi Master Obi-Wan in Episode 3. And they're done really well. They also have a C-3PO that follows the evolution of that character through the prequels. There's another set of kind of random Wookiees, and then there's a General Grievous, which is also really cool, that kind of... Well, the first one, you know, the large one is Grievous with the cape and the outer helmet, and then as you take him apart, he loses more and more of himself until you kind of have that kind of nasty inner, organic innards kinda, that's left.
Kind of reminds me of in The Simpsons when Itchy rips Scratchy's skin off and he's walking around with just muscle on his body. It's really kind of creepy.
And rounding that out, this first wave is a Sith set of three nesting dolls. It includes a large Darth Sidious, complete with, looks like a force lightning coming from his fingers, a Count Dooku, medium-sized, and then the small Darth Maul in the... and the Darth Maul. I like these things, man. I mean, when I first saw the story, I thought, these are, you know, whatever. But no, I'm kind of digging them in a sick kind of way. The only way you could actually dig the Hot Toys Chubby.
All the classic battles.
Delta Squad, execute door breach.
Any way you want.
We have all but destroyed the Jedi Knights.
Fight as a Jedi.
The Old Republic is crippled.
Fight in space.
Darth 3PO?
Force.net reader James tells us that the Science Museum in London is hosting an exhibition on video games called Game On. It runs from October 21st, 2006 through February 25th, 2007. In the exhibition, you can play the classic Star Wars cockpit game, among several others. Now, this is an exhibit that I can get into. What kind of, you know, on the link, it was pretty cool because they had actual, you know, you could set up tours for schools.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, of course. Of course, what kid wouldn't want to go and learn about video games? You know, they had, like, over 100 different types of video games, and they had them broken down by category.
You know where I went on my field trip in elementary school? I went to a farm and a grocery store.
Yeah, I think everybody hit the grocery store. Where the coolest thing was the conveyor belt that took the boxes back to the back storeroom. You know, we didn't get to go and play video games. I mean, granted,
that was
it would have been a number of years ago. Game when we were in school, but... This is really cool, and I think if you've got a chance to run over there, it's fun to play some of these video games, and they go all the way back to the very beginning of video games, all the way up to the modern games. So,
and there's and Star Wars is represented in this set.
Yes, and Nick Jr. Family Magazine named Star Wars LEGO 2 as one of the top 50 video games of the year. Now, this is a poll that was kid-tested as a group of games were taken and rated on different categories. You can check out on our show notes the link to the actual article, but in order to get the full article, you'll have to buy the entire magazine. But kid-tested, mother-approved, as the old saying goes. It continues to get a lot of rave reviews, and more people are really buying into this game, and for good reason. It's a great game. And we've got a little more information on Lethal Alliance, which is coming out for the Nintendo DS and the PSP. We got a press release this week regarding some of the features that are new to this game and new to really these portable systems. What they really aimed to do was try and incorporate some of the unique abilities of these, especially using the multiplayer collaborative mode so that you can work together using the characters Twi'lek, Rihanna Saren, and her security droid Zio, which are the two main characters. And you have to kind of switch back and forth and work together in order to make sure that you are completing the missions. You get to use those characters to
kind of like Super Mario Brothers 2.
No, I don't think so.
Well, yeah, you needed the princess's skirt in order to travel over the icy patches.
Right, but you're in the back olden days. Both characters are on the screen at the same time, and you send one to do a job and the other to do a job, and they both have to work together.
And that is why gaming is your segment.
So we take you back to Super Mario Brothers 2. Featured in the classics era of the...
I think I better go over to that museum.
Of the Game On Museum. You'll be in the Atari section going, these are great! But anyway, you get new characters to Battle the Empire. You know, you have your Rihanna and droids, Zio, and some new skills. You can set up holographic disguises for yourself to sneak around behind the Emperor and... Or, behind the Emperor. There he is. Or you could take over turrets and things like that. So, and of course, it's in the Star Wars universe. You get to go to Mustafar, Tatooine, the Death Star. You see Princess Leia. You see Vader. You see Boba Fett, Kyle Katarin, those guys in the game. So, should be a very cool title. Should be a lot different than what we've seen so far, and kind of moving forward into what we expect Star Wars games to be.
Now, do you feel that this game is going to have any effect on the overall expanded universe? Is this revealing anything important?
There's a possibility, but again, we haven't really gotten story cues yet, but it seems to be surrounding the stealing of the Death Star plans, which, of course, were stolen several different times, so we're not sure if this is going to move into canon or what, but we'll see when it comes out. And a ForceCast listener, Alex, picked up Forces of Corruption, the new update for Empire at War, and dropped us a line to let us know what's going on. He says that in addition to new EU character, Tiber Zahn, there are three EU characters from previous sources that are in the game as well. Graham Bell Iblis. Is that how you say it? I don't know. I'm probably going to get some emails on that, but appreciate you following up on that. And Grand Admiral Thrawn from the Zahn trilogy of novels, as well as General Mach from the Dark Forces games. Also featured are the vehicles Eclipse-class Star Destroyer, which is also from Dark Empire, and the TIE Phantom from Rebel Assault 2. And now, as the expansion goes, Luke Skywalker is an individual hero unit as opposed to being part of Red Squadron. So you can break out, and I'm sure Luke has got some additional abilities that you can use to move the Alliance along, or if you're the Empire, to watch out for. So check it out. It seems like it's a very good update, and from reading the diaries and those things, it seems like they really put a lot of thought into the update to make sure it makes it a good game.
I'm sure I'll enjoy watching you play it.
And wrapping up gaming, if you are a fan of the Star Wars miniatures game, there are previews up on Wizards of the Coast for the new Starship Battles version of the miniatures game. Previewed so far are the Mon Calamari, Star Defender Viscount, and Super Star Destroyer Executor. Executor.
I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father, before the Dark Times, before the Empire.
Always in motion is the future. Beyond the outer rim.
Master Voss has moved his troops to Bos Pity.
And in case you missed last week's report by Jovial J regarding the local Darth Bane signing by Drew Karpyshyn, you can check out the link on our show notes for a write-up of the event that he did. Now, one thing that Jay didn't have a chance to mention last week when we had him on was that Drew Karpyshyn was given a plaque commemorating him as an honorary member of the 501st. So check out that link. It's got some photographs of him with the 501st and some of the guys that were there. So thanks again, Jay. We really appreciate you bringing us up to speed on that.
And we alluded to this story a couple of weeks ago. So in case you missed him, the first time, you want to check out the second printings of Star Wars Legacy Number 1 and Number 2, the Dark Horse titles, at your local comic dealer. These second prints can be distinguished by white backgrounds on the cover, as well as a second printing note in the indicia inside the front cover. I've said this before, this is a series that I'm really, really enjoying. If you have not started it, well, now's the perfect time. Get out there. They went on sale this week. Get your issues 1 and 2, and you should be able to pick up the other ones without much problem. And I just picked up the latest one and read it. If you're a fan of Trooper stories, you've got to pick up the latest issue of Legacy, because it is a very cool Stormtrooper story. And along the lines of Dark Horse, also on sale this week, the X-Wing Rogue Squadron Volume 2 Omnibus, as well as the Star Wars Empire trade paperback number 6. In addition, Knights of the Old Republic number 9 is released this week, so check those out. I know these omnibuses are a great way of catching up on things that you might have missed when they were being released as individual titles, and you may also want to obviously follow the unfolding storyline in Knights of the Old Republic if you're a fan of that era of the EU.
In April, DK will be releasing an updated version of the complete cross-sections book with illustrations and cutaways of vehicles from all 6 films. Some of the features to look forward to are the Millennium Falcon, Naboo Starfighter, Slave One, and several of the armored clone vehicles. All new to this edition will be cutaways of the TIE Bomber, Imperial Shuttle, and the A and B Wings. Now, it will come complete with a foreword by John Knoll, the special effects guru. And, again, it will be released in April. I don't know if you've ever jumped in on any of these. I do have a couple of them.
They're interesting, yeah.
And they're really fantastic. And it'll be interesting to see some of the cutaways scenes because we've never seen the interior of some of these things. We've never seen the interior of the shuttle Tidarium. We've seen the ramp. We kind of looked back behind them, and it was all dark. And we've seen the cockpit, but we really haven't seen the whole thing. So it'll be interesting to get a full new view of that. So look forward to that coming in April.
And for you fans of the junior readers novels, Return of the Dark Side, Star Wars Last of the Jedi, number 6, made its debut this week. Return of the Dark Side is an adventure that occurs between Star Wars Episode 3 and Star Wars Episode 4, where the Empire is looking to make a political move on the planet Samaria, but to do so requires interference with a trade negotiation with the planet Rosha. The Roshans are adept at making miniaturized droids. The Samarians are making large industrial ones. The rivalry has kept them from working together. Now, I read the first book in this series, and this is cool. This Last of the Jedi series, the first one, is a great story that gives you sort of an idea of Obi-Wan's frame of mind immediately following the events of Episode 3. And for a junior, you know, novel, it's a very quick read. It's a really good story. My wife even read it, and I had been meaning to go back and read the other ones. They're already up to number 6. So I'm going to maybe pick those up if they release them in a sort of a compendium. Also, for you fans and collectors of international editions of English-language books, the official site, StarWars.com, has a look at the covers of the Jedi Quest series by Jude Watson as they were published in Japan. And there's some alternative artwork there for you to take a look at and maybe pick up if you are so inclined. And we've got our EU Character of the Week this week. And who'd you bring for us this week, Pete?
This week we have Anakin Solo. And for fans who are readers of the junior novels, a lot of the storyline comes from the Junior Jedi and the Young Jedi series, and give a list of the books at the end of the clip. So, very interesting character. Actually, a side note of that character was that he was originally supposed to be in Jason's role, but because the storyline was mirroring Anakin Skywalker a little too closely, they decided to have Jason take on the role and Anakin do what he does. So tune in here, and we'll come back a little bit later and go over the what we talked about. Wait, spoiler alert, if you haven't read any of the books and you're
I don't have my sound effect.
This is a spoiler alert. If you're still looking to read the new Jedi Order series and you're not quite caught up on those, you may want to tune out.
Here we go.
We fast forward from last week into the throes of the new Jedi Order with Jedi Anakin Solo. Anakin was born to Leia Organa Solo 6 years after the Battle of Endor and 1.5 years after his twin siblings, Jason and Jaina. Even before his birth, his force potential was recognized as the reborn Emperor attempted to take over his body to sustain his dark spirit. He failed. But the Solos understood the danger that Anakin and his siblings would constantly be in. It was because of this that he was sent to Anoth to be raised by Leia's friend Winter. His safety was temporary even on the remote planet as Ambassador Fergan attempted to kidnap him when he was 1 year old. This attempt was also thwarted, but he was brought back to Coruscant where the family was reunited to raise him with the help of C-3PO and Chewbacca.
Sometimes I just don't understand human behavior.
Anakin quickly began to show the mechanical abilities that his grandfather had by being able to dismantle and repair droids.
I can fix anything.
During the Empire Reborn movement of 14 ABY, Anakin was again in danger when Lord Hethrir succeeded in kidnapping Anakin and the twins and attempted to sacrifice Anakin, the mysterious creature Waru. Han, Leia, and Uncle Luke Skywalker intervened and rescued the children.
Together again, huh?
Wouldn't miss it.
How are we doing?
Same as always.
That bad, huh?
4 years later, the Solo family went to Corellia for vacation. During this time, the first Corellian insurrection erupted, and destruction and chaos began in the system. Chewbacca gathered the children together and fled to the planet Drawl. While separated from their parents, they stumbled upon a planetary repulsor chamber, which Anakin was able to activate just by touching. Han's cousin, Thrakken Sal Solo, discovered the children and the chamber, but wished to use the chamber for his own devices. He attempted to use it to activate Centerpoint Station, which could fire a blast to cause a supernova. The children escaped from Thrakken, and Anakin deactivated the system, saving millions of lives. The children continued to accompany their parents and had several close calls, allowing Anakin to continue to mature and grow.
Anakin, you've grown up.
Anakin joined Luke's Jedi Praxium on Yavin 4 the year he turned 11. He became good friends with a fellow trainee and orphan from Tatooine, Tahiri. Early in their training, they went on an unsupervised excursion and discovered the Palace of the Woolamander. Inside, they discovered a golden globe that contained the spirits of Maasai children put there by Exar Kun.
I felt a great disturbance in the Force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
And they also found a hibernating four-legged Jedi named Irkrit, who became his mentor and helped to free the spirits in the globe. Anakin's dreams were haunted with visions of himself as a dark Jedi, and he asked Luke if he could go to confront them in the cave on Dagobah that Luke had been during his training.
The cave. Remember your failure at the cave.
He faced the fear of following in his grandfather's footsteps and emerged much stronger and more confident. After he returned to Yavin 4, a historian told them that Darth Vader had kept Obi-Wan Kenobi's lightsaber from the clash on the first Death Star at his castle on Vajoon. They arrived at the castle and discovered that Orlok, a mage, was also after the artifact. They exposed Orlok as a fraud and recovered the lightsaber. Anakin alternated between training on Yavin and his studies on Coruscant. After helping to rebuild the temple, which was damaged by the Second Imperium, and helping to prevent the resurgence of the Black Sun, he was promoted to Jedi Knight, and he and Jason were apprenticed to Luke. When the Yuuzhan Vong invasion began, Anakin's promise and conflict really took form. He was on Serpendal when the Vong pulled its moon into a fatal orbit. Just before it hit, Chewbacca threw Anakin to the Millennium Falcon, knowing that he would perish.
No, Chewbacca!
Anakin piloted the Falcon out of danger, but Chewbacca was lost. Han blamed Anakin for Chewie's death, and there was a strain on their relationship for months. Anakin left and went to Dantooine and continued his training with Mara Jade and assisted in the search for lost Imperial superweapons. He also clashed with the Jedi Dishara Kor, whom he coaxed away from the dark side, but was unable to save from a Vong attack. He kept active in the war as he and Jason returned to the Corellian system. Anakin sought to reactivate Centerpoint Station to use against the Yuuzhan Vong fleet invading the system. Jason talked him out of using the terribly destructive force, but Thrakken Sal Solo reappeared and used the station to destroy the invaders, but also the friendly fleet that they were supposed to be helping. Anakin felt the incident was his own fault as he failed to act initially. Despite all his setbacks, Anakin's continued prowess made him a very popular hero in the galaxy, just as his grandfather had been during the Clone Wars. Whispers began that he would one day take over Luke's role as leader of the Jedi. The Yuuzhan Vong War continued, and they attacked the Jedi Praxium.
Move against the Jedi first.
Anakin rushed to defend it, but the collaboration of the Peace Brigade captured the temple and made escape from the planet impossible. He was also terrified to learn that they had captured Tahiri. Anakin teamed with a Yuuzhan Vong fallen warrior to rescue her, which he did, but his new Vong ally did not survive. During the fighting, Anakin's lightsaber was damaged, and he fixed it with a Vong lambent, which allowed Anakin to sense them through the Force, which he called Vong Sense. No Jedi had been able to do this, and it was a major break in the war. The two Jedi reunited with the New Republic and joined Qur'an Horn's force. It was during a quiet moment here that Anakin professed his love to Tahiri. Soon after, Anakin went on a difficult mission to destroy a cloning lab in which the Vong were growing the Jedi-hunting Voxen. In an act of self-sacrifice, Anakin gave his life to destroy the last of the Voxen genetic material. His death caused despair amongst his whole family. Jaina fell into the dark side for a short time, and Jason questioned the ways of the Jedi. Although lost to the Force, Anakin continues to watch over and help guide his entire family. You can follow the rise and fall of Anakin Solo by checking in with the comics Dark Empire 2, Empire's End, The Other,
and Union. We're also following in the novels Dark Apprentice, Champions of the Force, Children of the Jedi, Dark Saber, The Crystal Star, The New Rebellion, Ambush at Corellia, Assault at Solonia, Showdown at Centerpoint, the Junior Jedi novels The Golden Gate, Lyric's World, Promises, Anakin's Quest, Vader's Fortress, Kenobi's Blade, and the Young Jedi Knight series, The Lost Ones, Shards of Alderaan, Jedi Bounty, The Emperor's Plague, Return to Ord Mantell, and Crisis at Crystal Reef. He also appears in The Crystal, which is a short story from Star Wars Gamer No. 5, and in the New Jedi Order novels, Vector Prime, Darktide 1, Onslaught, Darktide 2, Ruin, Agents of Chaos 1, Hero's Trial, Agents of Chaos 2, Jedi Eclipse, Balance Point, Edge of Victory 1, Conquest, Edge of Victory 2, Rebirth, Recovery, and Star by Star, which he meets his demise. He can also be seen in other forms, in the New Jedi Order novel Traitor, and in Betrayal.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And our Star Wars tales continue this week. Pete will give you first honors.
My tale comes from Brian Williams of Reno, Nevada. Brian says, I was 7 in 1999 when Episode 1 came out and went to the Coliseum Theater in Santa Rosa, California. I can still remember how my Egg McMuffin from McDonald's tasted. I dressed as Luke in a costume my parents had made me with a blue lightsaber, and my dad let his beard grow out so he could dress up as old Ben. I was surprised to find an elderly couple camped out with us for 6 hours. I learned their names, and we chatted for hours. Finally, the movie opened. I was dismayed to find that the film was lost. Turns out that the guys were inside watching it for themselves. Film started at 6 a.m. because it was in the high-definition surround sound theater. I was 13 last year when I won a regional science fair in Santa Rosa and got a free trip to L.A. While my dad and I were there, we saw Star Wars Episode 3 at the Universal Studios Theater in high definition, which was really awesome. Must say, Star Wars has changed my life in many ways. First of all, yes, Leia was the one who showed me a larger view of the Force. And he also did note that, as a side note to that, he did notice that Anakin does not have a scar on the DVD box of Revenge of the Sith. And he asked if he had not received it yet, but in fact he had by the beginning of Episode 3. I didn't check my box to see if that was correct,
but I didn't really notice. Yeah, that's odd. That's odd. It's the same art as the movie poster, so.
Right.
Well, we'll definitely look into that. I'm sure one of our listeners knows the answer. My Star Wars tale comes from Simon Dowdy, and Simon says, the story of my Star Wars tattoo goes back to when I was 3 years old. I've been in love with Star Wars for 25 years. When I was in film school, I got the nickname Jedi Net Boy because of my love for Star Wars, and also how I was on the net all the time looking up information on the Star Wars prequels. I am not one of those fans who dresses up to watch the films, but I did go to Toys R Us at 12:01 a.m., and I know all the movies by heart. I guess Star Wars is what made me fall in love with film, history, and politics. It also got me into design, because when I was a kid, I was in love with the old movie posters from the original trilogy. Now I work as a freelance designer. I got my Jedi logo because I am really into the Jedi philosophy, since it was the last time I could enjoy one of the films. I wanted to go out with a big celebration, and this tattoo is a big part of who I am. And Simon has actually included, unfortunately we can't show it to you, but a photo of the tattoo. He says, I wanted to go out with a big celebration, and this tattoo is part of who I am. The day before the 12:01 a.m. showing of Episode 3, I went down to Nathan's Tattoos and got myself this tattoo. The artist was done working on it around 7 p.m. I was then waiting in line for the 12:01 showing of Episode 3 later that night. Star Wars has been there all the time and will still be there with me when I'm an old man. It's one of the few things in my life that makes me happy. So say what you want, but I love it. Also love the podcast. Makes me feel good that the Force is alive, and I can't wait for Celebration 4. Well, thanks for the Star Wars tale, Simon. We can't wait either. And in our regular old listener mail, we've got some interesting things here.
Lewis from Japan took umbrage at our complaints regarding the Cinemax and HD. It turns out that in Japan, they get no Cinemax HD, they get no hyperspace memberships, they get no festivals or celebration conventions. So we have to be a little bit more sensitive when we complain that we don't get these certain things, because they don't get everything over there, and the stuff they do get is much more expensive. So, Lewis, I'm sorry about that, but gosh, if you can get out of Japan, it may save your Star Wars habit.
In this email from Rob Perks, he says, sitting back with a cup of tea listening to 70 minutes of A Galaxy Far, Far Away is fast becoming the highlight of my week. He is in England, and he loves our, quote, fantastic news and character profiles. So thank you, Rob.
And a quick couple updates. James from Austin, Texas wrote in and said that he had spoken to his Time Warner rep regarding the announcement by Comcast, and they were unaware of the claim, and he was checking on it and was going to get back to us if he had any information, so we appreciate that. And also Ed from Australia did check in and let us know that it is Corgi, not Corgi, as I mispronounced it last week, and he offered up, hey, maybe you guys can start a rumor about a Wii, Nintendo Wii lightsaber game. And we talked about this earlier this week. I think there's no way that they missed the opportunity to do that.
No, I thought I heard a rumor of it at one time. I know that the Harry Potter game that's being designed for the new film is also being designed to go with the Nintendo Wii, and there is going to be some pretty advanced spell casting as part of the game, so I'm certain that it's not lost on the folks at Lucasfilm or LucasArts that this would make a heck of a gimmick for a lightsaber component. And speaking of the UK, we have another UK listener, Ryan Moody, who says, hello, I'm an American living in the UK and was happy to see a podcast finally covering some of the very few UK events. He says, the London Expo is happening this weekend, and Christopher Lee will be attending and will be signing and showing up on both days, Saturday and Sunday. However, according to his site, he will not be signing photos from Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, or Dracula, just his new CD, but this might be the only chance to get anything from him. So for those of you over in the UK, if you have a chance to go to the London Expo, you can check out more details at londonexpo.com for a rare opportunity to see Christopher Lee in the flesh. I'm wondering, what is his CD? Is this Chris Lee Sings the Hits?
That's Chris, when a song really takes off. When it gets in the hand of a real master.
Oh, you better take the next one.
Jay Dan from Virginia asked us to put the show notes in the email notification. And now, Jason, you are kind of the master of that. Is that something we're going to be able to do? Do we have to check in with our head man to see if we can do that?
Yeah, I think that it's something that we can possibly do. I mean, the show notes is evolving just like everything else with the Forcecast. We're trying to make sure that it's better, it's more useful to the listeners, and easier for us to put together every week, or not necessarily easier, but maybe more simplified, more streamlined. So, absolutely, if you have any suggestions on the show notes, on the show at all, please email us at podcast@theforce.net. We really listen to these things, and we take them to heart. Like Phil here from Luton, England. A lot of email from the UK, which is fantastic. It's just unbelievable to be sitting here where we are and, you know, getting email from folks all over the world. I'm still not over it. But Phil writes, having listened to your regret, referring to mine, and not buying the Gentle Giant minibus when they first came out, I can sympathize. I have a good majority of the collection, but what really gets me are the convention exclusives, like Mara Jade, that only appear in the States. It's already hard trying to collect a line of collectibles that are solely sold in America, but when the hard-to-find busts are released only in American conventions, it's virtually impossible to pick one up without costing you an arm and a leg on places like eBay. So when are companies like Gentle Giant going to give people outside of the USA a chance at getting some of these pieces without paying exorbitant prices for them? Phil, if we only knew the answer to that. We feel your pain. We understand that it is a concern for a lot of collectors that are outside of the U.S. I guess the only thing I can say is at least there is eBay. Even though the prices are inflated, the prices are high, at least there's a way to get them.
Well, and we did see Sideshow take a stab at trying to do that when they had the convention exclusive, but they also had a priority pre-order of a smaller edition size for the Revenge of the Sith Anakin 1/6 scale that they did.
You know, I think Sideshow, and not to get off on too much of a tangent, is really leading the pack when it comes to distribution of these items and making sure that the collectors that really want them can get them. I mean, the whole it's kind of gone by the wayside, but the whole idea of the inclusive edition that they did with a couple of the 12-inch figures was fantastic. It took some of the pressure off, and you still got a limited edition collectible.
And Neil lets us know that he was listening to the latest Disney podcast, and they give some info on the Jedi Training Academy at Disneyland. It's basically the same one as the one they had during Star Wars weekends in Disney World. At Disneyland, they're going to have it every day at Tomorrowland Stage. So, again, we're seeing more and more on this Star Wars performance, and you know, we'll see our Darth Vader and Darth Maul and Jedi Knights, and but no female Jedi Masters.
That's right, and no one under 5'6" either. You know, it'd be neat if the Star Warsification of Disney, that's a new word for you, is to see it expand. You know, first it started out with Star Tours. Now we're getting, you know, Darth Maul walking along with Mickey Mouse. And I'm trying to think of the way this is progressing. You know, you never know what we might see out there in some of these parks. I mean, I'm not saying a standalone Star Wars park, but certainly a large portion of the park could be all Star Wars. How cool would that be?
I'm greedy. I want a standalone park.
And another listener, Admiral Thrawn, writes, saying, "A while ago, I heard a lot about the saga being released in 2007 in 3D in IMAX theaters. Is there any more news?" And I don't really have any more news on this. We've heard a lot of comments made by Rick McCallum that as much as they'd like to do these films, release these films in 3D, there's just not enough theaters to do it. However, if you've been watching TV in the last couple of weeks, you know that Nightmare Before Christmas is showing up as a 3D release select theaters. I know that we're having to go all the way up to Cleveland to see it. So, of course, Nightmare Before Christmas has a cult following that's significantly smaller than Star Wars. I don't know how that's a bad thing. I mean, if you've got people camping out to see a movie that's getting wide release, imagine the spectacle. Imagine the spectacle. And these theaters could probably profit from this thing for months and months and months and months and months to accommodate everybody. But I guess it probably comes down to dollars and cents. I mean, clearly, going back and making a 3D print of these films is going to cost a significant amount of money. And if it takes 2 years to make the money back because there's so few theaters, it's obviously a consideration. Maybe 2007... it'd be great to see a 3D release of at least A New Hope. That's going to do it for your listener mail. Thank you so much for the Star Wars tales and the feedback and suggestions. Again, we do read them all. We try to respond to most of them, if not all of them, so keep them coming. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Hard to believe another show has come and gone. Now, what you are listening to, my friends, is the Star Wars title theme by Miko. There was a little blurb in Entertainment Weekly where they were counting down the top 10 songs in 1977. And believe it or not, what you're listening to right here is numero uno. Entertainment Weekly goes on to say, "Speaking of good songs, yes, you're reading the computer screen correctly. The number one song for this week in 1977 was a disco version of the Star Wars title, creatively, Star Wars title theme. Does it get any better than that? I'm listening to it right now, and I have a grin on my face that is so big I think my ears are going to fall off. But I'm also trying to think of a modern equivalent to this phenomenon. Is it me, or is this just a disco version of the Star Wars theme song, and I should stop trying to draw any kind of parallel, because it simply cannot be done?" So there you go. There's your blast from the past. The Star Wars title theme from Miko. Now, a few weeks ago, we had some outro music provided for us by our friend Spaghetti Cake. If you are a band or in a band and you've got a Star Wars piece that you would like to unveil to the world, please send it to us at podcast@theforce.net. We would love to play your song as our outro music for the show.
Once again, a big thanks goes out to Kyle Newman for joining us in the cantina. Make sure you tune in next week for part 4, the final portion of our chat in the cantina. And make sure you go out to Podcast Alley and keep those votes coming. We're almost done. We are almost at the end of our promotion. Top 10 by Halloween. We're hanging tight at number 9. We need you to go out there, and if you haven't voted, make sure you do so we can give away 10 days worth of prizes from Official Picks.
Speaking of Official Picks, we want to thank them. They make this show possible. Thank you for being our sponsor once again this week. And as we keep saying, get that feedback, get those Star Wars tales, get the rebuttals, get the you pronounced this wrong, get them all into us. You can contact us a multitude of ways. Our official forums are over at rebelscum.com. We're in the miscellaneous category, and you can check it out, a dedicated forum for the ForceCast. You can also Skype us at username ForceCast, and there's no reason why you shouldn't. It's a free download, and you'll love it once you try it. You can also call us the old-fashioned way at 330-871-4TFN or email us at podcast@theforce.net. It's been a blast being with you once again. I am Jason.
And I am Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.